Okay, you guys, let's do this. It's going to be so professional. Mm-hmm. Like, so professional. Here we go. Welcome to the Lab Support Podcast with your hosts, Michelle Van Dusen and June Colson, a couple of clean comedians who support each other and others through comedy's wacky and winding roads. I hope you're ready. Get set. Let's go. Since podcasts have a catchy tune, we wrote this song for Michelle and June. Clean comedians are best friends too. Oh, so good. And you never know what they'll say or do. Here we go, sing with me on Lab Support, with Michelle, who's really short. We'll have a ball, with June, who's really tall. They have fun, interviewing comedians on Lab Support, with Michelle, who's really short. Now it's time to start Lab Support.
The Lab Support Podcast is brought to you by the Hot Breath Comedy Network.
Happy Valentine's Day, and welcome to the award-winning Laugh Support Podcast. I'm your host, June Colson, here with Michelle, with one L. Don't call me Trisha, Rhonda Colson, Corey's friend, my best friend, the little one, the goofy one, apparently the number one, Michelle Van Dusen. What's up, little one?
I got two of them, so next time I see you, you get to have one.
Where are we number one? We're number one in what bracket, Michelle?
You're number one in my heart. Enough of that.
So sweet. Look, I'm wearing a heart today. It's Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. I when I saw that you were wearing pink or red or whatever that color is.
Both.
I was like, oh, no, I got to get something colorful. So I did this. So, da-da. Okay.
Well, this really translates well on a podcast, Michelle. What is this? What did you get?
It's a pink hat.
It's a pink hat. Thanks for sharing. Look at my necklace. I'm wearing this. This is one of my favorite pieces of jewelry. It's a, can you see it? Can you see
it? It's a heart with a cross.
Yeah. My son bought this for me.
Wow.
Like it was, you know, it was one of those gifts where it was just, he was growing up to be like a young man and not a teenager kid anymore. And he came home and he was so excited that he had this gift for me that he had picked out on his own, that he had bought, you know. So anyway, it's my oldest son, Ty. The youngest never gets me anything. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, he's giving me good things.
But headaches and no, I'm sorry.
Yes. No, this was a Christmas gift, but it's a silver heart and it has a silver cross in it. But, you know, it meant a lot to me because it's a heart and a cross and, you know, and it shows that, like, for me, it was confirming that I had been that example to him and that he knew what was in my heart. Right. And that this particular piece of jewelry stood out to him. So, but just the fact that he bought me something right on his own. And he had it wrapped and he was so excited to give me this gift. So my youngest son, when he gave me a gift for the first time, it was so stealthy, Michelle. It was so stealthy. He didn't have a driver's license yet. It was so super stealthy. So we were at Walmart and he went in with me, which he never wanted to go to Walmart with me. He went in with me. And I was looking for something, a picture frame, because I had ordered some stuff for his grandparents. And so we go to the picture frame aisle and he said, I'll be right back. And I was like, okay. So either I take a really long, long, long time to pick out a picture frame or that kid is so stinking fast, because he literally walked away. I picked out the frame. I may have grabbed one other thing. And I'm going to the front of the store, kind of looking for him. And there he is standing by the door. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I buy my stuff. We go home. So he can't drive on his own. On Christmas morning, he has a gift that he had purchased for me. And he had bought a fishing pole for his dad.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, man, who took you shopping? And he said, you did. I said, what? And he goes, you did shopping. And I'm like, no, I didn't. He goes, yeah, I bought that when we were at Walmart the other day. I said, when? He said, when you were picking out picture frames, I'm like, you literally went and bought me a piece of jewelry, which was it's really pretty. I wear it all the time. I wish I had it on. But it's just a really pretty silver bracelet with like some little cubic zirconian stones on it. And it's just simple, but like dressy, yeah. You know? So if it's a special occasion, it's something that I wear. But in the moment that I was picking out a picture frame, the kid went to the fishing department, grabbed a fishing pole, went over to jewelry, got me a bracelet, went out to the truck, hid it underneath the seat. Because I had the car keys, but we have one of those key pads. Oh. So he was able to let himself in the truck, hide the gift, and then get back into Walmart before I picked out a picture frame. That's insane. Like, that kid needs to be shopping for people at Christmas. Do you know how much money he can make? He can buy two gifts in about 18 seconds. That's unbelievable. So anyway.
Well, I'm curious now, actually. Did you actually purchase the picture frame there, or did you not find what you're looking for and then scrap that whole idea and then head over to the Dollar General and get your picture frame? That's what I'm thinking. I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Dollar General store is at my heart. I do. I was at the Dollar General yesterday, and my daddy was at the Dollar General yesterday. I called to check on him, and he's like, I just left the Dollar General. I was like, I just left the Dollar General. Anyway, no, I, you know, it was a fancy frame that I was looking for. So I had to go to a high-end department store. Oh. So I went to Walmart. That's really, the rich people go to Target, but I couldn't go like that rich on the picture frame.
Only so, on the Left Sport podcast will you ever hear Walmart referred to as the high end.
Yes.
What kind of store was it?
It's a high end department store.
Department store.
That's right. That's right. It has different departments. I don't even know. I guess that's what a department store is.
I'm kind of surprised you didn't go to Hobby Lobby because they have a good framing department.
Are you insane? Do you know how expensive picture that's frames those places?
Yeah, that's a higher end. So
that's insanity. The fact that like to put a piece of wood and a piece of glass around it. You know what I do? I go to Goodwill and I buy an already framed picture frame. And then I peel the staples back and I pull it off. Like if it's a big picture that you're framing, I peel the staples back and I pull that cardboard, whatever, off the back of it. And I tape my own picture in the frame and I put the cardboard back on. If you turn around some of my pictures in my house, you'll see like duct tape just holding it. But it's the back. Who cares? Stop judging me, Van Dusen. It's Valentine's Day of love. Back off me. You're number one. Yes, Michelle is number one. She has these little, for our listeners, she has these little foam fingers and that says we're number one on it. I'm not, where did you get that? Tell us the backstory on these. This You're is always church. Getting something free somewhere.
This was at church on the Super Bowl Sunday or whatever. They had hot dogs and they had these little foam fingers. And I'm like, oh, I like that. So I grabbed two because I'm like, I'm getting yours, Ross. He's like, whatever, because he doesn't like things. But I do. And I'm like, I got mine and I got his.
He likes no things. No things. He likes, my husband likes no nothing. Things. There's no thing that he likes. Michelle, you greedy little thing. You greedy little thing. One wasn't what? Enough. Weird number. It has the number one on it. One is enough, Michelle. One,
no, this is what I'm bringing to you when I see you in June. This one's for you. So that's why, because we got two awards for our podcast. And so, you know, boom.
One. Yeah, that's true. Well, you have your dry bar hoodie on today.
I do.
I'm like leaning in. This is my giant bubble head. This is my gift to you for Valentine's. Just
here, let me do this. There we go. Back up.
Listen,
we're losing viewers.
Listen, I have to tell you, yesterday I was talking to Jason and I couldn't find my makeup and the bathroom light was messed up. And I said, like, there's no telling what I look like. My eyebrows. I don't know how to do eyebrows. We're going to talk about eyebrows. Your eyebrows. I don't know how to do eyebrows. And so I was like, there's no telling what I look like. And I swear to you, he looked at me and he goes, the right one looks really good.
But was it his right or your right?
I don't know. And then I was like, so self-conscious. I was like, wait, what? Really? And he's, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay. So Michelle, You had eyebrows. For our listeners, Michelle doesn't have eyebrows at all.
I do. They're very blonde. They're there.
Well, and mine are too, but I use a little brown pencil and I make some eyebrows on my face. I have giant bug eyes anyway. But Michelle, who put eyebrows on you? Where were you at? What were you doing? Tell us your story.
Okay, so I went to Drybar Studios in Provo, Utah to shoot a Drybar comedy special. My Drybar comedy special. That's right. Come on. And there's a makeup lady there that's supposed to get you camera ready for the camera, because you're on camera. And you're supposed to come, you know, typically with your normal makeup. And I'm like, this is it. You know, this is how I do blush. And I just smack my little cheeks. Boom, done. Or let me take the stairs a few times. It'll be flush, you know.
Yes. Or for you, just literally crack the blinds open in your hotel room for like 38 seconds. And you have a tan. Your face turns pink.
That's right. That's all you do. And then I'm perfectly tan. Yeah. So I applied some makeup to this face. And then I said, okay, you're going to need to give me eyebrows. And eyebrows she gave me. You saw the eyebrows coming before you saw me come on stage. They were there. It was like, hello, how are you tonight? I'm doing great.
That is so not true. Here's what it is. Because I saw you with your eyebrows and they look really good. And they look really good on camera. You're just so used to not having anything on your face. Or the first time I wore false eyelashes, it felt that way too. It felt like my eyelashes were just, they were like the fans when you see in the movies, you know, the women fanning the king or whatever, the big feathers, like it was like, hey, and they were little tiny little. You looked amazing. You look great. But what's wonderful is Michelle just kept sending me Marcos and she was all up in the camera and you're like, hey, I have eyebrows. It's me. I got eyebrows. They were fun. Eyebrows were fun.
They were so big. Well, so I do extra work, you know, on different movies and right. sets and stuff. And so most of last summer was period pieces. So it was, you know, 19, whatever, 17, you know, Westerns and things like that. So you're not supposed to have eyebrows that are manicured or look good or any of that. So I've just left them. So instead of, which I probably should have explained to the makeup artist, don't follow what's on my face, like make new ones. Cause you're not going to see them, you know, just so, it just felt like they were a little bushier than they should have been because, she's like, oh, here's some hair. Let me color it all.
Well, you looked amazing. You looked amazing. Your outfit looked great. It looked really good with the backdrop. You know, we talked about that a lot. We got a nice little Michelle fashion show, myself and Rhonda Corey. We got to see all the different outfits. So what you chose to go with something that you felt comfortable in, right? That was a good color. Yes. All of that. So are you happy with what you went with?
Yeah, I did. I because I had a choice between two outfits and one could have been the more sparkly one and the other one was, you know, just a little more plain. And so I felt more comfortable in the plain one. And so I went with that. So I'd be more, you know, because when you're, yeah, I was much more comfortable with what I wore and I liked it because it was a blue jacket and which, you know, usually pulls the blue in my eyes out more anyway.
Yeah.
So, and then the eyebrows just covered the blue. So no. This whole episode will be called the eyebrows.
That would be great.
We could probably actually write, that would be funny. We should write a horror movie or a, you know, scary movie. The eyebrows cometh. Yeah. but I really felt comfortable in what I was wearing. And that's important when you're on stage, you want to be comfortable with what you're wearing so that, you know, like one time when I was doing a show in Vegas, I thought I was wearing comfortable clothes. And then right before I got on stage, my pants ripped So then I was very uncomfortable because then I didn't know exactly where the rip was. I just knew that I ripped it and the stage was higher than the audience. And so I was like, uh-oh. Yeah. So then I was just awkward the whole time. And then because I was awkward, it just fell flat. So yeah, so I was comfortable. So there we go.
It was good times, good times.
So, okay. So you didn't fly. You drove.
No.
Who went with you? How long was your journey?
Oh, wow. So I drove there because I, you know, I'm not really into flying these days. I don't know. I mean, well, I like to make sure that my doors stay on my vehicle. So we drove. So we being my husband, Ross, and myself, he was able to get a few days off of work, which was really nice. And since my show was on a Friday night, it was going to be a 19-hour trip. So he got off. He was done working on Wednesday. And then we started our journey Wednesday evening and stopped somewhere in Kansas, I think Salina maybe, and then continued the next day, all day Thursday, which was really good because at first I was thinking that we would just get up really early Thursday and then find a spot somewhere like near Durango, Colorado, or whatever, and then finish our rest of the day and then shoot the special and stuff that Friday night. But the more I kept thinking about it, I'm like, I don't think I want to be in the mountains at night. Like that's a big no-no for me. I don't like mountain driving. And then plus it's winter time. You don't know what the weather's going to be. So it was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we left Wednesday, drove all the flatland, you know, on Wednesday evening, which was wonderful weather for driving. And then got up and did the mountains the next day. And every time I opened up the travel app thingy, it would pop up like, you know, winter weather storm warning. Da 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 da. And I was like, uh-oh, are we going to make it through the mountains?
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is what I learned. Instead of just freaking out about it, you should click on that to see exactly where that winter weather is.
Yeah, it's always located. It could have been Rhode Island.
I don't think it was Rhode Island. But it was south of where we were. And so that was a Rhonda Corey moment right there.
I was thinking the same thing. they are shoveling snow right now in Rhode Island. So, okay. So
yeah, they are. Anyway, so we were able to make it through the mountains without any of the weather really affecting us. We arrived in the evening in Provo and it was like just starting to snow a little. So it was the perfect weather for driving. And I was like, oh, thank you, God, because he knew. God knew I would have been a mess. I would have been a complete wreck. And Ross did a great job driving, which I appreciate very much. Very, very much. Now, the last time we went to Provo was a couple of years ago to go watch Rhonda Corey shoot her comedy special at Dry Bar.
Yes. Yes. Another Rhonda Corey moment. Was it two or 3 years ago?
Two, three? I don't know. I think
it's been 3 years now.
Are we? Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. So 3 years ago, but we didn't take that same route because when we went to see Rhonda's, you know, we headed north and then we hit like several other states through and then came back down. Like we hit the Clean Museum and then came all the way back down into Utah that way. But this way we tried to do the most direct route we could. And it was wonderful. Anyway, so we got there, got in our hotel, was able to rest, relax, and you know, sleep very well that evening, and then get up fully rested, ready for the day.
Yeah. You want to be rested before that big day.
Absolutely. I mean, because your day. So, because I know June, you're going to be shooting your special in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, let's go and talk about it. I may puke, so keep going. Nobody wants to throw up on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, but they're going to listen to this after Valentine's Day, so it's okay, right? Yeah.
Well, the day after. Some people are still after because that's Friday. You know, they're going to dinner on Friday night or Saturday. We don't want to go there. Okay, yeah. So you get up, you're rested, you're ready to work.
Because that day, you know, you still have to shoot your promos. Like, all this happens prior to you doing your special. So you have to shoot your promos, you have to shoot your tip video, you have to do headshots, like all these things. So you have to be ready. So they give you a call time, and you got to be ready, camera ready at that point. And so it's a lot of activity that happens. And then you get like an hour before your show actually starts. And I went third in the lineup. So to me, I had more time. Like, it just felt like there was more time to like get in your head.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah. I want to be middle, but I'm sure that it kind of looks like they're going by bookings, right? When somebody's booked. So the last booked is the last on the lineup. And mm-hmm. I've seen before, if they have two men on the show, they give the variety. It's like a man, a woman, a man. Yeah. So in my head, it was like, oh, you know, I'll probably be the middle person, which is the sweet spot, right? And yeah. I don't need more. I want to be able to hear the comics that are before me and after me or whatever. I'd like to be able to listen to their sets, but the whole time it's going to be like watching the clock and waiting, and it's my time and it's coming up. And I still get it. I get in my head all the time. So you yeah. had that. You had that. And it was both shows, right? You do two
yes.
shows and both yeah. shows. They didn't change the lineup. You were still closing out. So you had all of that time.
Yeah. And, you know, they do the two comics first, then they have a 10-minute intermission. So you have a host that does some time. No. And then there's intermission. So you have the host does his time up front, you know, and then the first comedian, and then the host comes back out again, does some more time. You know, in case they have to reset the stage. They have that kind of stuff has to happen. And then the second comedian does. And then there's a 10-minute intermission. Then the host comes out again. Then you get your opportunity. So the first show was fabulous. I felt like I was in my pocket. You know, I was doing pretty good. You know, and I felt like I left something out. You know how you think you left something out, but then you're like, well, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I didn't. Maybe and you just keep going. And then later on, you're like, oh, I left something out. You know, and it's like, duh, you know, it was a good yeah. chunk. But that was okay because there were so many other great moments in it that it was okay. You know, like, ah, it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And then, but the second show started at like 9:30 or something, which is way past my bedtime. So, you know, and then you don't get on until 10 or whatever. So I'm like, oh, so that was, the second show was a little hard for me to be there. So then you, I don't know. It was just one of those moments like, okay, I picked up that joke that I left out the first time. And then why am I adding this in? You know, it's just like these other yeah. things that you add in. But the second comedian, he did like a third of new material. And he was crushing it. And I wanted to make sure that I listened, you know, to the other comedians and stuff, which can kind of mess you up sometimes, you know, if you're listening to what they're doing. And but it was fine. Like, cause one of the comedians does some jokes about cows. Well, I do jokes about cows. So I was like, you know, so now you're listening, like, I hope it's not the same joke. You know, it's like that yeah. kind of, or yeah. the same revenue, you know, it's like, ah, but then you just have to, right before you go on stage, you just have to kind of just let it all go and just do you yeah. and do what you've been working on. And just have, it's such an amazing experience. And the staff is incredible, from the front door usher to the concession person to, or the concession people, to the staff upstairs, to the editors, to the camera guy, like all of them. It's they are like the Chick-fil-A of the TV industry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's yeah. how they are. I mean, you know, it's they don't say my pleasure, but it's that whole same feeling. Like you're there, you're the star, and it's just they make you feel comfortable, they make you feel welcomed and appreciated and loved. And I just have to say that it's probably the best staff I've ever worked with on any production that I've ever been a part of. Yeah. So thank you, Drybar, and all of the staff there and the Angel Studios and everything. You guys are amazing.
So did Ross go straight over with you, or did he take you and drop you off while you filmed the tip and do all of those things? Or did he just hang out at the studios the whole time?
I had him, he came with me, because he also carried my bag. So, I had people, you know what I mean? Yeah, he came with me. He was just, you know, attached at the hip kind of a thing, but not really, you know. Ross is so supportive, and he knows exactly when to step in and when just to stand by. And that's what he did. He stood by, and he was, you know, my, just my support the whole time. And, he quietly took pictures in the background. So, So like when I was getting my headshots done, he was behind the photographer taking pictures of the photographer taking my picture. So, you know how you'll get those pictures in the mirror kind of thing. Yeah. So it's that same kind of thing. And, I did ask, we are allowed to post pictures, any still photography that we want to post, you know, we're allowed to post it and hashtag, you know, dry bar in it kind of a thing. But we're not allowed to post any videos of any content of anything like that.
Right.
You know, which is fantastic. I mean, you know, that's part of our contract.
What if you did, like, what if you did video, let's say, golly, this hair is driving me nuts. What if you did, he videotaped you while you were backstage, right? And you're getting ready and those type of things. Is that fair game? Let's say he was videotaping you, like, hey, I'm getting ready to film my dry bar, da da da. Can you do that? Can you share that?
Okay, so you mean like in the green room or
something
like that?
Yeah, if you're in the green room, if you're, I feel like I remember JJ Barris. I feel like I remember her actually going live from the balcony, and there was like people behind her that worked for Dry Bar, and she was like, hey, I'm here and we're about to go live and I'm so excited. I feel like I remember her doing that. That's why I ask.
You know what? That didn't even cross my mind. So I didn't ask about that, but I'm thinking that might be okay. You'll have to ask when you're there.
I'm just kidding.
I think that might be okay. If there's no content being aired, that there's no, you know, like it's those kind of properties.
I think it would be to their benefit if the comics are doing those kind of things where they're, you know, going live and talking about how excited they are to be doing what they're doing. And I don't know. It could be.
Yeah. Could be That would have been, brilliant. So check with that and then do it.
Yeah, so. I might. I don't know if I'm not completely... it doesn't matter, big gig, little gig, any gig. I definitely battle with the anxiety and the nerves and just letting myself like be in the moment. It all is so important to me. But it's a struggle. It's a real struggle. So I'm going to try and enjoy the moment. I'm doing better, but I feel like I'll be doing this 30 years and still have that. I remember doing the Comedy Buzz. We interviewed Killer Bees on here. I'm doing the Comedy Buzz and being backstage, and Killer Bees just kind of watching me do my pre-show pacing and just, and you know, whatever. And I remember him sharing with me that he said, man, I still get like that. And he's been doing it over 30 years and he still gets that like, here we go. 30 years, you know? Yeah. And I hope that I'm always excited. Always excited. I never want to lose the excitement of it, but I would love to get rid of the nerves. I would love to get rid of the anxiety. I would love to get rid of the voices in my head that go, you suck. Yeah. What are you doing? Right? Like, I'm so mean to myself sometimes. I'm just too mean to myself.
I think that's
it. And you weren't alone. You had Ross there, but who else happened to be in Provo?
Okay. So, what we did, because, you know, we drove all that way and my show, they film Friday and Saturday. And so we stayed to watch all the comedians on Saturday. And it just so happened that a good friend of mine was also filming her special that day. So we stayed and we got to watch Leslie Robb do her film her special. And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. There's two other comedians, two other male comedians, and they were really good too. But it was great. And so what I loved was Ross also took pictures of Leslie Robb when she was on stage and things like that. So I have to get them off of his phones to send to her, but I think she's going to really appreciate, you know, the pictures, because it's those balcony pictures.
Yeah, you that's know, cool. You, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was so much too fun. Distracting. Our listeners won't have a clue. This is up. The friend I have my camera in, I can hear, like, when you speak.
Yeah.
It's got metal on the frame. I can hear the frame making a sound. And hopefully that doesn't show up on the audio of this podcast. But the fact that I can hear it, my ADHD brain is like, what is it? There's a sound. There it is again. There it is again. There it is again. So sorry. So sorry to interrupt. Okay.
Well, we couldn't.
Of Leslie Robb.
He did. Yeah. And it was so much fun. Her set was fantastic. I mean, you know, we'll have to have her on again for her to talk about it. But it was really, really great. You know, she's a teacher and she does all her teacher material and she's been on all the big stages and she just crushed it. And yeah. The one thing that I really loved, and this might be controversial, I don't know. We'll find out when people comment, write in. It's okay.
I'm leaning in once.
But I appreciated that Leslie Robb, who happens to be Black, did not at any time mention, hey, I am the only Black person here. Like, I love the fact that she doesn't address that. She addresses comedy. She addresses humor. She goes straight into her stuff. It's never that, oh, I am the odd one. Like, that never even came out of her mouth, and it never comes out of her mouth. And I love that so much. About her. I don't understand why so many comedians, so many Black comedians or anyone of color, I'll put anyone that's darker than white, I'll put it that way. They always have to address that. I don't get it.
It's almost like, and it's not really a race thing. It's just a topical thing. And I get that, like, that's, you know, that's their life and their experience, you know, but I think it's the same reason why they're like, don't talk about COVID. Don't talk about the airport. Don't mention Provo, because they're wanting unique perspectives, unique content. And that's an easy observation. If you're the only Black person in the room, or even I'm the only woman on the show, if I bring that up and a lot of the women on the show continually say that while they're there, then it's not unique content. It's, well, the other woman who was here said that, and the woman before that mentioned she's the only lady on the show, and the woman before that. And so it just, you've got, like, Leslie has so much great content. It wasn't
necessary so much
in that moment to
and
think about or talk about that.
So this special is outside of that room. Yeah, it doesn't stay in that.
Yeah.
And now I say that, and one of my jokes was about what part of this face will fit in or blend in India. You know, like, oh, they spotted me. Like I did that, but I didn't do it about the room I was in. Yeah. It was about a room I was in. I don't know. There was just a...
They do cut to the audience here and there. So I say they won't see the audience. They do get a few cuts of the audience where you see them laughing, because you made the cut for Ronna Corey's special, another Ronna Corey moment. But yeah, realistically, it's like, that's the reminder too, is that this is for a huge broad audience of people who are not in that room. So if you're making jokes, now the one thing I have seen comics do is make jokes about the backdrop, because the backdrop, it used to change with every single special. So you could make jokes about the backdrop. I could make jokes about the giant flowers behind my head, right? And I could make some kind of joke about a June bug, you know, being near the flowers or something. And that would be fine, because I'm the only the three comics that night had that backdrop. But now they use the same backdrop for multiple recordings. So
definitely for the six comedians for those 2 days.
Yes.
I don't know what it'll be for the following weekend. I don't know.
Yeah, but now it's like even that backdrop is probably off limits, because what I was going to say is that's the only thing in the room that I would even consider commenting on, because it's right behind you. So it is part of the audience, viewer audience experience.
Yeah. And so
I've seen comics in the past make comments about the backdrop, make jokes about, because it, you know, some of them are just funky looking, like they're just different.
Yeah.
But now you run the risk of six comedians have that backdrop behind them. And if all six of them are pointing out, hey, what's up with 4,000 records, you know, on the back wall?
Yeah.
The next comic's like, oh, look, there's 4,000 records. Reminds you of my grandma in 19, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Every comic comments on that. And you're limited on time. So you want to do the best of the best that you got.
Yeah.
And
yeah. At least that's what you're hoping, that you're doing the best of your best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have, you know, between 20 and 25 minutes to do you. And see, the thing is, now that you mentioned the backdrop, because it was the lines, I was actually going to say something. Oh, I look thinner here, don't I? Like, you know, because it was, you know, the vertical lines you're supposed to go versus horizontal, but I didn't. And it's fine. You know, it's totally fine. It's fine. It's fine, June. Thanks for bringing it up that I forgot. Yeah.
But you could have done that because you were the only woman on the show, and you could have made a comment about, I appreciate that they put vertical lines behind me. They're very slimming, you know, horizontal, well, whatever.
Yeah. And it would have been one of those things, like, because I did have something in my head when I first saw it that, you know, what I was going to do. But then because I was just, you know, going through my stuff, I didn't connect with it, and it was fine. It was fine. It was fine. I didn't touch it. But I should have. No.
Or you could have. But like, I, like, yeah. Basically, though, that's probably the only thing in the room that you want to reference, because your viewing audience on the Dry Bar platform, the people watching it from home, they're not looking around that room with you. So if you're referencing, you know, the outfits people are wearing, or the color skin of the people in the room, or the concession stand in the back of the room.
Yeah. It's different because
they're not in that room.
I'm like, I don't have a concession stand behind me, but I have snacks next to me. Oh,
yes. Do you already have Girl Scout cookies? Is it that season?
Okay. So when we returned home, it is the season for Girl Scout cookies.
Is it really? I don't buy
them. These were on my desk. My son, my oldest son, because you talked about how your children gave you gifts. When we returned home, there was 3 boxes. There's only 1 box now on my desk. So he picked up some Thin Mints, which is my husband's favorite. And then we had some peanut butter kind thing. And then the Samoas. I love the Samoas. Samoas?
I think whatever. I haven't bought those in years, and not that I don't support the Girl Scouts or whatever. It's because if I have a box of Thin Mints in my house, I am not thin anymore. I will eat the whole, like, I open a sleeve and I'm like, I'm just going to eat 3 cookies and I'm going to put them in the fridge because I like them when they're cold, and I will eat the 3 cookies, and 3 seconds later, I'm going to eat 3 more of those cookies. And within 30 minutes, the whole sleeve is gone. I can't, like, thin mints, nothing. Thin Mints. Well, I've gained weight on Girl Scout cookies because
you didn't eat them right. Cause you eat the whole box, they go right through you. But if what I've discovered, that if it says thin on it, or low fat or no fat, I'm not allowed to eat those things because I have fat and I'm not thin. So it tells you if you're thin, you get to enjoy these. If you have, you know, low fat or no fat, you can have that food eat also. So so I only eat high fat foods because, you know.
Fats, good fats are good for your brain. So I should be extremely intelligent by now. So. I don't know. I'm not genius level.
Genius. Now, I do have to say the trip home was much more harrowing than the trip there. We did stop in Moab to go look at the arches, which was fantastic.
McDonald's?
No, no, like the national park where it's just rocks. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, it's just rocks.
I don't know where Moab is. I honestly don't even know where Utah is. I just know where the Nashville airport is. And I know that I will get in a plane and I will land in Salt Lake City. That's what I know. I have no idea where I'm at 90% of the time. Honestly, I do not. People, when they say that, like, oh, I have family from Kentucky, they live over in, you know, Powderly. And I'm like, okay, cool. I think that's close to Lexington. And then someone who actually knows will be like, that's 6 hours from Lexington. Like, well, okay, maybe not. I don't know where I'm at. That's okay.
It's down the street from you. Oh, that's the town over. It has the good Dollar General. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so hopefully our listeners know what the arches are. It's these natural rock formations that create these arches, and you get to go and look at them. So it's a drive-through kind of a thing that you can get out and then go hike and then go back. We only hiked once, and I say the way we hike, I go so far and then Ross takes the GoPro and goes up the rest of the way and then comes back. So I can be like, look where we were.
Oh, okay. I just Googled it and I see it. Moab Arches.
Yeah.
Arches and so it's park. So no, I mean, I'm sure I saw that sometime in the fifth grade in like a geography. I sure say geology. I don't even know what the difference is with that. I'm sure I saw that in like a book somewhere. But you know what? My little June bug, poor girl brain, never ventured out in my thought that I would ever get to see any of these places in my whole lifetime. So it was not a point of important reference and I did not lock it in. But now I might get to go see the arches and not just the Golden Arches, not just McDonald's. Oh my gosh, yeah. Michelle, you went to this place?
Yeah. We drove.
How beautiful.
We still planned on the 2 days getting back and it was a beautiful day and we were like right there. So it was like a 45-minute detour that turned out to be like a 5-hour detour, you know, cause we had to go look at everything. We came home. I have on my camera hours of here's a rock. And here's another rock. Oh, and look at this rock. Oh, and look at this rock. Look at the formation of this rock. Oh, did you see this rock? Wow, look at this rock. Oh, look, a rock.
No,
oh,
nobody wants to see that.
A chipmunk. Oh, there's a chipmunk. Oh, and look, there's a bird flying past. Oh, this rock. And then here we have this rock. Like, so we have now hours of footage of rocks. They're very pretty.
Please don't share that with me or on this podcast because that is like, I know, like if you go hiking in the mountains in Gatlinburg and it's beautiful and there's literally zero chance that you are going to capture God's creation in the way that you are seeing it in that moment. And no one wants to see 50 pictures of trees and rocks and a random chipmunk. They weren't there. They don't care. I have so many family members back in the day that would print out pictures like that. And you would have to sit and look at an album of their rocks. Put a person in it doing something stupid with the rock. And I want to see that picture. But other than that.
So what I'm hearing is you're not going to come to our annual rock photo party now?
No.
Fine.
No.
Okay,
no.
Fine.
Unless you have rock candy. I'll come for rock candy.
I have rock candy. In fact, when I make my coffee, I sometimes will just take the rock candy and use that as a stirrer stick because
I would come to a rock party if we were watching the Flintstones.
Listening to Purple Rain.
Fruity Pebbles and having rock candy and then we had a rock and roll dance party after. I would go to that kind of rock party, but I don't want to see any of your pictures. I love you, but I don't care. I don't care about the one chipmunk. If it's not Alvin, Simon, and Theodore, I don't care. I don't care about the chipmunk.
Alvin! The gift shop there, though, is fabulous. I did purchase some, it's not beef jerky, it's bison jerky. Yes. And we're going to have a taste test with the boys when everybody's here. So it's just sitting in my kitchen right now because I'm like, oh, we should. I'm like, no, we will wait. Because they had bison turkey. They had jerky. They had elk jerky and some other kind. So I thought, I don't know if I've ever had bison. I might have had a bison burger but I don't know. Anyway, so we're going to do that. Anyway, it was a good time. And you can camp at that national park too, just FYI.
But why would I? Why would I want to camp there? I don't.
Yeah. Anyway, but so we left, you know, and then we were doing the mountains, you know, we had to go over the overpasses through Colorado to get back. And that was at night. And that was, you know, it was snowing a little bit, but the beautiful thing, it was all ski traffic because everybody's returning. So it was bumper to bumper, red lights all the way through. And which ended up being actually a really good thing because it kept us slow.
Right.
And because the rain that, or the snow that happened, whatever, it was slick. So it made everybody go slow because of the traffic was so heavy. So that worked out, even though it was like, okay, I got to figure out, can I read, you know, and I couldn't read anything. I just, you know, it was a harrowing trip in that sense. That caused more anxiety in me on the way home than, you know, going there. But, you know, Ross is a great driver. I mean, he grew up in Colorado. He grew up, you know, in the mountains of Kentucky. Like, he grew up in these areas. He used to pull trailers and, you know, so he's an amazing driver. But in my head, still in the moment, you're like, that's too close. You know, if I can't see the back tires, we're too close. Yeah.
You just don't have control. You know, guess what? So guess what I'm going to do while I'm there? So I'm going to do the dry bar. Then I'm going to rest.
Wait. Let me guess. You're going to find all the Dollar Generals and go shopping.
No, I'm going to go stealing. I'm going to go stealing while I'm there.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun. Yeah.
Well, it could be, but then I just saw on like Instagram or something yesterday, day before, that they had an avalanche near Provo. So
We'll see. That was on the weather app on us returning. That was on there, you know, avalanche. So then I had to click on it and find out where. We went and saw that we were going to go look at waterfalls. On one of the afternoon, and it was no waterfall. It was frozen water against the mountain. So that was fun.
Yes, not much of a waterfall, but yeah, that's what I'm going to do while I'm there. Well, I'm glad you guys had a safe journey. I'm glad that you got to have the experience with a friend, the Leslie Robb. We will keep our listeners, you know, advised as to when your dry bar comes out, when Leslie's dry bar comes out. And eventually when mine will be coming out, I think there's really no rhyme or reason, or, you know, they just kind of let you know, oh, hey, by the way, your dry bar comes out in 2 days and that's it. Well, like it's supposed
to be about 9 months away. So
is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you have an estimated 9 months plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll keep them posted on that.
June.
Yes.
I have a very important question before we close out today.
Yes.
Could you possibly tell me what June's tip of the week is?
Oh, June's tip of the week. That's great. Go ahead and pop it up there for me, Michelle, so I can tell our listeners, because I think I forgot what it was. Laugh a little more and live a lot longer. So it's Valentine's Day. I got my heart on tomorrow. I'm going to get to hang out with people in Paintsville, Kentucky, and share some comedy with teachers there. And it's Heart Healthy Month because it's Valentine month. So I've been looking up some facts. Here's what I found was really interesting. I found that they did a study about people with good sense of humor. A good sense of humor. People with a good sense of humor, they have now shown average 8-year longer lifespan than people without a good sense of humor. That's crazy. That's over 2,000. I think it's 2,290 days, maybe extra days in your life.
That's a lot of math.
By laughing, because laughter, it talks about laughter is like it increases the good chemicals in your body, mm-hmm. the good endorphins, and it increases oxygen flow to your blood, which is great for your heart, and it relaxes, you know, relieves stress and all of those things. So literally, laughter can give you a longer life. So laugh a little more and live a lot longer. But I have decided now that when that person on the front row, that guy, that girl, the one that's always there in every show, who's got to cross their arms and not laugh, that's fine. That's fine. The people who are laughing, they're going to live 8 years longer. That person, I just figure either way, whether they laugh or not, I'm still killing it, Michelle. Okay, I know you usually do the the joke.
You killed.
I did kill.
Uh-oh. So all the EMTs are like, "Ah, oh, Junebug has another show. All right, let's get ready. Let's get ready. It'll happen around
8 years earlier because he didn't laugh at my comedy." Okay, so real quick question. When it comes to dry bar, when I get there, do you recommend that I browse around?
Oh.
Michelle, I browse. I look at me.
Michelle,
do you recommend that I browse around? Okay, and I know you usually do the silly joke at the end of the day, but do you know why one of your dry bar eyebrows was mad at the other?
Why, June?
Because they're arch enemies.
I love how you just tied that all around. That's fabulous.
Okay, close this out with your goofy joke of the week. And and friends, before she does, and we'll let her end with her joke, make sure that you follow us at the Laugh Support Podcast. All right. Find us on all social media platforms. Okay, actually not X or Twitter or whatever that is. We just can't do it. We can't keep up. But you can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. Make sure you follow Michelle at Michelle's Comedy, Michelle with one L. And you can find me on all the platforms at June Bugs Comedy. So go like us, follow us. Now, Michelle, close us out with your goofy joke of the week.
Well, because it is Valentine's Day and you have those lovely, lovely things, pictures behind you, what did the big flower say to the little one?
What?
You're really growing, bud. And because you and I both have boys, you're getting a twofer today. What's the best flower for a boy to give his mom?
What?
A sunflower.
Michelle, let's let him go. It's enough.
You guys, thanks for listening. Have a great day.